It is my joy to welcome all of you to worship, whether you're with us in the sanctuary or joining us over live stream, and to say to you Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. I say Merry Christmas because we are still in the midst of the Christmas season. We all know the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, which begins on Christmas Sunday or Christmas Day and then continues through Epiphany, which is January 6th. So we are still celebrating Christmas. So keep the joy and keep the hope alive. And it's good to be together in worship, whether in person or virtually. I would invite everyone who's worshiping with us to sign in this morning. If you're here in the sanctuary, there are registration pads at the end of each row. If you wouldn't mind signing those and passing them down, and once they make their way back to the middle, if you would tear those off and place them on top of the pads, that's a great help to our volunteers. If you're worshiping with us online, there should be a link visible to you that you can click on or go to and register that way. I've had an opportunity to meet several folks who are visiting with us for the very first time, and we're so glad that you're with us this morning. If you have been visiting with us and praying about perhaps becoming a member of West End, there will be a new member class starting on January 16th. There will be two options, in-person option at 9:45 during the Sunday school hour, and then a Zoom option at 5 p.m. on Sunday afternoons. Those are the class lasts for 4 weeks, and that begins on January 16th. And information about registering for that class should be in the bulletin. I also wanted you to mark your calendars to participate in one of the Project Thrive conversations about the future of West End. Many of you know that we're part of a group of 18 churches in the urban core of Nashville who've been part of this Lilly grant that guides us through a process of discernment and visioning. And we've had some conversations over the past 2 years, and now we're ready to look ahead into the future. Those conversations will be taking place January 23rd and 30th in person and 26th over Zoom. You don't need to write any of that down. There's more information coming out on that, but I wanted to give you a heads up and invite you to participate because we want everybody's dreams and everybody's ideas as part of the conversation. I also want to take this opportunity to thank you all and be grateful for the generosity of this congregation. We were able to meet our budget this year, and even all the numbers are still coming in, but I believe we'll be a little bit over this year in the black. So that's great news, and I'm so grateful for all those who rose to the occasion as you were able and helped us make our budget this past year. And we're looking forward to a great new year of growing in ministry together. And finally, I think we're all aware of the COVID situation in our community and the rise in cases. We've had some folks who were supposed to be helping in worship this morning who called and said, I've been exposed or I don't feel well. And so we're navigating these waters together, and we'll figure it out as we go. We'll continue to remain masked in worship, and our COVID task force will be getting together this week to look at how things are in our community and other ways that we can keep one another safe. But I wanted you to know we're on top of it, and we're hopeful, and we're going to do this together as a community. So thank you so much for your faithfulness and trust. So this Sunday, even though it's not yet Epiphany until January 6th, we're going to hear the story of Epiphany, which is the visit of the Magi to the Christ child. And so let us open our hearts and minds and lives to worship the Christ who has been born into our midst.
Let us offer our gifts before our Savior. Let us offer our joy, our love, and our laughter. Let us offer our bitterness, our anger, and our worry. Let us offer ourselves and all that we have. Jesus comes to proclaim peace to all who were far off and to all who are near. Through him, all of us have access in one spirit to God Almighty. Therefore, let us confess our sins together that we might receive forgiveness and peace. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. Now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, we will now exchange signs of reconciliation and love. Whether you're in the sanctuary or watching online, the peace of Christ be with you.
Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so I may go also and pay him homage." When they heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to have a special moment with the children and those who are children at heart. If there are any children in the sanctuary who want to come forward, we have this closed for communion. So we come around this way, and there's the opening right there. You see how you come this way? Come on in. Here we go. You know, the wise men had to make a long journey, and now you make a long journey. Let's come all the way up here. You want to come this way? There we go. Come on, have a seat. So good to see all of you. Merry Christmas. You may have heard me say at the beginning some really happy news that it's still Christmas. Christmas lasts for 12 days, and so it's still okay to say Merry Christmas because we're still celebrating the birth of Jesus. One of the things we do at Christmas time, a lot of us in our family and with our friends, is to give gifts. Did anybody get a gift this year for Christmas? Any of you got a gift? Yeah, I got some gifts too. Did anybody give a gift this year? Yeah, I gave some gifts too. I think one of the reasons we do that is because of this story of the Magi, the wise ones who came to visit Jesus. They came to give him gifts. They were so overjoyed to meet the Son of God, and they showed their joy by being generous. And so that's part of what we do at Christmas time, is we show our joy by giving gifts and receiving gifts. And even if you're really little and you don't have a piggy bank with coins, you can draw a picture for somebody you love You can give somebody a hug. You can say kind words to people. And it means a lot to all of us. Yeah? And you sent Santa a card. You gave a gift to someone who usually is the giver of gift. That's really kind. Well, let's pray together, shall we? Gracious God, thank you so much for the gift you gave us in Jesus, the most wonderful gift of all, your love, which we will always have in our hearts. Help us to be so grateful for your love that we're willing to share what we have and to give gifts to others. Thank you so much for the ways that all of these children bless all of us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you so much. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie, who's standing there, to Children's Chapel. And your parents will come get you in Children's Chapel afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
she can come with you. That's great. You're 3. Well, there you go. And if you're older than that, you can go back and sit with your parents or friends. Sorry. There is so much about this Epiphany story, the story of the visit of the Magi, that is so accessible to kids. And so fun to talk about. We have these exotic visitors from a faraway land who learn about the Son of God being born because there's a star in the sky. So if a star in the sky and they go and visit Mary and Joseph and they open their treasure chests. What child doesn't like to talk about treasure chests? And there's joy and light and beauty all over this story. But as we hear the story, as Rick read it for us, we realize that there's also a shadow hanging over this story. It's almost as if Matthew is telling us two different stories. On the one hand is the visit of the wise ones, and on the other hand is the fear and violence and jealousy of a tyrant named Herod. Most of the time the reading ends with the wise men going home by another road. But by adding just a couple of more verses, we find that the Holy Family become refugees. This story where they begin living in a home in Bethlehem, if they've moved into some sort of residence, they're pretty well established in Bethlehem, and they're being visited by these visitors from afar and being lavished with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. By the end of the story, they're refugees fleeing to Egypt because of an oppressive tyrant who wants to kill Jesus. How do we process this story? We have two versions of Christ's birth that are told to us in the Gospels, one in Luke's Gospel and one in Matthew's Gospel. And in both cases, the gospel writers want us to know that Jesus was not born into an easy and comfortable life. In Luke's gospel, which we usually hear on Christmas Eve, we find Mary and Joseph who've been displaced from their home in Nazareth because an emperor in Rome has decided he wants to count them. And they have to travel to Bethlehem where they don't have any place to lay their heads. And that's where Mary gives birth to Jesus. And he spends his first night in a feeding trough. So we find God being born to a poor couple without a home. In Matthew's gospel, we find the Holy Family as refugees going to Egypt under threat of death. Can you imagine what it was like for Mary and Joseph to take their child on this long hundreds of miles journey from Bethlehem into Egypt? The uncertainty, the fear, the vulnerability. And somehow, what these gospel writers want us to know is this is how God chose to enter into the world. These are the ones God chose to be associated with. And so how do we, as those in the 21st century, make sense of this news, make sense of the circumstances of Christ's birth, and how do we see ourselves in this story? Now, I didn't have the advantage this week of gathering with others in my Tuesday morning Bible study. Every Tuesday morning, in person and over Zoom, we get together and we read the text for the upcoming Sunday. And I get to ask them questions, and our conversation always helps me in thinking through the sermon for Sunday. So I would have asked them this question: where do you see yourself in this story? How do you make sense of a God who is revealed to us in this way? So all you have this morning are my reflections. But I hope that you'll take time on your own to ponder this and to think about what it might mean for you and for us together. But as I look for myself in this story, as I look for guidance on how to process this God who comes into the world as the most vulnerable among us, I think the Magi have something to show me. I think we can see them, perhaps, as our guide. If you're like me, and you're one who was not born into a position of great vulnerability in our society, if you've never known what it's like to be homeless or to be a refugee, perhaps the Magi can be our guide. One of the first things we see that the Magi do is they study and they educate themselves. Somehow, in this faraway land, they know that the King of the Jews is being born in Bethlehem, or at least in Judea. And they follow a star and make their way there. They pray, they look at the heavens, they read the sacred texts, they keep their eyes open. They educate themselves. And that reminds me that I'm called to educate myself as well about the world that we live in, about where God is showing up all around us and among whom God is showing up. In preparation for this sermon, I spent a little time doing some research about global refugees. It's not something I've spent a lot of time or energy researching or learning about. But as I learned and as I read the statistics, I was overwhelmed with compassion and grateful for the deeper awareness. I didn't know that across the globe there are 84 million people who've been displaced from their homes. 30% of them are 17 and under. Most of them are coming from Syria and Venezuela and more from Afghanistan. And it's easy to see those numbers and to just feel numb and to feel helpless. But I think, like the wise men, we are called to be aware, to open our eyes and to know what our siblings across the world are facing. What the wise men found when they arrived in Bethlehem was that this King of the Jews wasn't born in a palace. They had to travel to Bethlehem, and they walked into this home of these two poor people and looked upon a peasant child. And yet they weren't shocked that the Son of God appeared in this way. They rejoiced. They were overwhelmed with joy. They had eyes to see that the Christ could come in such a humble form. And I want eyes to see like that. I want to be able to see that all people bear within them the image of God. When we see the news coverage of refugees coming from Syria or Venezuela, or when I see folks in homelessness, or when I hear stories about people who've had to flee from their homes because of domestic violence or whatever the case may be, I don't want to look upon them as other, as part of a problem or a threat, but rather to see with the eyes of the Magi the image of Christ in them. A fellow human being who bears the image of God. The Magi, upon seeing the Christ child, open their treasure chests. They offer gifts that they have. And that's an invitation that I feel to do what I can to help those that are vulnerable, those who are hurting, suffering, and oppressed. If you've been in church the past couple of months, you know that one of my recurring themes right now is to discern what is mine to do. We can't do everything. We can't respond to every crisis across the globe or every need that is in front of us. But we can prayerfully consider, what can I do? What is something I can do to relieve the suffering of my fellow human beings and to meet the Christ in our world wherever he appears? I'm grateful that I have a good friend from high school who was one of my bridesmaids, actually. She lives in Chicago, and she and her husband have started a little nonprofit where they are working with Syrian refugees, and now more and more from Afghanistan, with young boys and girls, teaching them to read, teaching them English, helping them succeed in school. It's a small ministry, and I'm able to give a little bit to support. But it matters to me, and I get to hear stories about what they're seeing and the experiences they're having, and to begin to see that we are all in this story together, and to do my part. What is your part to do? Where does God tug on your heart to relieve suffering in a world and in our community? Whatever it may be for those across the globe, it may be for your next door neighbor, but what gifts are you called to offer for the sake of the love of Christ? The good news is, well, there's much good news in this story, is that we all have a part in this story. Whether we are the vulnerable ones or whether we are more like the Magi, God works within all of us to help bring about salvation on the earth. Thanks be to God that those who handed down the scriptures to us included all of these stories for us, that we can find ourselves in them and look for guidance on how we can be God's people in this world as it is and help God to transform the world so that one day, as is promised in the scriptures, there will be no more suffering, no more oppression, no more tears, no more grief. Let us say yes to God. I will do my part.
This morning we affirm our faith using number 883 in our United Methodist hymnal. Please rise in body or spirit as we affirm our faith together. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website or follow the link in the chat. If you're here with us in the sanctuary this morning, there are gray cards in the pew racks in front of you that you can place in the offering boxes on your way out this morning. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of new beginnings, fresh starts, second chances, and do-overs, we come to you on the second day of the year, expectant, tired, hopeful, anxious, and everything in between. We grieve what we've lost in 2021. Some of us step into 2022 with trepidation, and others with cautious optimism. We know that you journey with us no matter the emotions we carry. For your steadfast love and never-ending companionship, we give you thanks. You have been with us thus far, and we know that you will continue to guide and guard us. We are grateful for the world that you've given us, for the love that we've been shown, and for your grace when we've done wrong. As we make resolutions, help us to remember your command to keep love of you and love of our neighbor first in all that we do. Help our resolve to end poverty and disease. Make your presence known to those who are ill, those who are on the threshold of this life into the next, those who give care for others, and to those who are in prisons of body or soul. And center ourselves always in you, O God. When real or proverbial storm winds blow, anchor us to your heart. Help us remember that true peace comes from you, and help us seek both peace within ourselves and peace with others. Make us mindful of the ways that we can seek the good of the city in which we live, and lift up for us leaders who wish to do your will. And be here with us at West End. Help us in our mission to make disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ, for the transformation of the world. Give us hearts full of love and care for one another. Help us to look inward as well as outward. Give us wisdom and give us courage for the facing of this and every hour in 2022. Through the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. And now, as we prepare to give our tithes and our offerings, we recognize that everyone is in a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world, we invite you to give as you are able. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, you're welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those of you worshiping in person, there are offering boxes located in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offerings following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to a God who loves us unconditionally. hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right, and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, loving God, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness, and you brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. You sent a star to guide the Magi to where the Christ child was born. You came into the world as a poor child, born in a place that was not your home. He became a refugee, displaced by the violence and threats of a tyrant, and in him you have shown your solidarity with all who suffer and are oppressed. In your signs and witnesses in every age through all the world, you have led your people from far places into your light. By the baptism of Jesus' death, suffering, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, and broke the bread, then gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on all who gather in this moment and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. As we pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread,
And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
This is the body of Christ, broken and given in love to all. And the cup of salvation, the cup of grace poured out for you and for me and for all the world. My friends, the table is set. Our host is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and everyone is welcome at this table. So we invite you to come. If this is your first time to receive communion in this particular congregation, we want you to know that this is not the table of this congregation or of the United Methodist Church. It is the table of Jesus Christ. We will be invited to come forward and kneel at the altar rails. Our choir will come first, followed by those in the transepts and the balcony, and then the rest who are in the nave this morning. If you'll come down the center aisle if you're in the nave and take a place at the altar rails. If you'll have your hands open, our servers will serve you some bread and a cup. All of our bread is gluten-free this morning. You're welcome to stay and kneel in prayer at the altar rails as long as you would like. If you would prefer not to come forward and receive in this way, I'll be making my way around the sanctuary with these communion elements that are already prepackaged. And if you'll just wave to me and let me know that you'd like to receive in that way, I will bring it to you where you are. One of our practices as a congregation is to bring forward a second mile gift as we come forward to communion if we feel led to do so. And we focus on a different mission every month. And January's communion offering will go to support our partners at Project Transformation. This is an organization that grew out of the United Methodist Church. It engages young adults in purposeful leadership and ministry, supports children in their holistic development, and connects churches to communities through summer reading programs and after-school programs. West End is a partner with Project Transformation, and we've been sharing ministry for many years. So we invite you to give as you feel led. They're offering plates here up front in the sanctuary, or you can offer your gift to the offering boxes in the narthex, or you can give online to the link provided in the chat if you're joining us over live stream. The table is set before us and open to all who love the Lord or would like to do so and who need the grace that is offered here, and that means all of us. So let us come forward and feast on the love and grace of Christ. invite you to rise in body or in spirit and join with me in giving thanks for this feast that we get to be a part of this day. You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts.
Help us to glorify you in all things.
Amen. We heard today the story of the journey of the Magi, the journey of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. We are all on a journey, and may these stories remind us that God goes with us whatever our journey, whatever our story, we are part of God's story. So go forth to be God's people and to share the light wherever you go. Amen.